Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Title IX podcast and the Cyclone Fanatic podcast network. I'm Steph Copley, joined by Elisa Woods for episode 64 of the podcast. We're getting old, Elisa.
64. Feels like a good number.
I know.
Good number to quit on. This is the end.
This is it. We forgot to tell you guys. See you later.
JK.
Just kidding.
JK.
We're going to make it to at least 65 for retirement age or something
65?
Like that.
65? Better believe we're going to make it to 69.
Nice. Oh, no, but 64. It's been 64 good ones, and hopefully tonight is one of the best ones we ever do. Shout out to our sponsors, the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Last episode, we jumped the gun, and I was thinking the students were back, but I was wrong. They're back, I think, tomorrow, officially, Tuesday. Yeah. So hopefully they listen to us while they're walking around campus.
Yeah, I drove to Ames today to pick up the kids. They just spent the day there, and there were a lot of out-of-town cars with Iowa State bumper stickers headed in that direction.
I think the kids are
headed back home.
Well, if you are an Ivy student listening to the podcast, best of luck this semester. We're cheering for you, rooting you on. And shout out, of course, to our sponsor of the entire podcast network, the Mississippi River Distilling Company. We mentioned it last time on the last episode, but Elisa and I and some friends are going to make it over there to visit our friends at the Mississippi River Distilling Company for their antifreeze cocktail party. So hold on to your butts, LeClaire. The Title IX ladies are coming.
Hold your necks, as my mother-in-law would say, as she went around the corner fast.
I love it. Well, I'm excited
for
it. It's coming right up. So if you're interested, check it out, the event online. Otherwise, just get yourself over to check out all of the amazing spirits that they have to offer in Eastern Iowa. And they have some really cool events going on and just ways to enjoy the space that they have, even though it's the middle of winter. So we have a really cool episode, I think, tonight. At the end of the podcast, we'll start at the end and work our way to the beginning. We have a guest with us. We have Coach Wares, George Wares, who's the head softball coach at Central College. And we're obviously an Iowa State podcast, but we had Coach Wares on to discuss just his view on women's sports and specifically collegiate sports, and just to give us his perspective. He's a very outspoken advocate of women's rights in sports. And so I think you guys will really enjoy that. So that's at the end of the podcast. And we were going to do this last time, but we ran out of time. One of my favorite things Elisa does every year is talk about her goals and how she sets her goals for the year. So we're going to go through those. But first, I feel like we have to start with our very exciting men's and women's basketball teams. What do you think?
They're so exciting. They're the
best. They're so exciting. They're the
best. Nail-biting. I mean, they're not the best. Nail-biting.
Nail-biting. Okay. Yeah. I thought you said no biting. And I was like, no, they're not biting. What are you talking about?
No biting, Steph.
That was me in parent mode right there. So the women are now 16-1, coming off a win against Oklahoma State on Saturday. It's the best start in program history. First time the program has started 16-1. And I don't know if you saw it, Lisa, earlier today. We're recording Monday night. Earlier today, they jumped to number 7 in the rankings. And it's the first time they've been there since January of 2002. I did the math. Obviously, that was 20 years ago. I was a freshman in high school and I still had braces at the time.
Oh, wow. I think I was like 6, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
You know, you're looking really good for your age.
Thanks.
But if you're on social media, you've seen this. The women have a huge game on Wednesday night against Texas. If you can get to Hilton Coliseum, do it. I think it's going to be a fantastic crowd. We talked about it before, but that women's crowd is always intense. And with students back, I'm hoping they show up in droves as well. And we just you know, bring some Hilton magic to what is always a tough Texas team there. I think they're they're top 25 for sure. I forgot to look to see what they were in the newest poll, but
I feel like we need a saying like pack the jack, like head to Hilton or something like that.
Let's work on that.
Okay. You don't like that. You don't like head to Hilton.
It's okay. I feel like we can do better.
We'll work.
I feel like you can do better.
You know, I like an alliteration.
I know you do. And then the men, of course, had a nice victory against Texas on Saturday as well. And then they turn around tomorrow night, Tuesday night, and play Texas Tech. It is the Big 12 right now is a gauntlet. And I feel like Iowa State specifically has just gone through a really intense stretch that doesn't necessarily get any easier. So just hold on.
I was looking at the list of the Big 12, and it's like it ranked us first to last. It ranked the conference first to last, and like the AP ranks in there were so random. You know what I mean? Like usually it's like okay, like the single digits at the top, the lower digits towards the middle, not ranked at the end. It was not like that at all.
No.
It's like unranked 5, unranked 17.
It's so weird.
6, like it was all over the place. It was like, wait, I need to sort this out a little bit.
And any given night in the Big 12 right now, there's an upset or someone gives someone a really intense run. And I think Iowa State, I think that suits Iowa State well, because as we've talked about, as Chris and Brennan talked about, and Jared and Scott have talked about, defense travels well. And they play pretty consistently. Their offense is pretty consistently mediocre, but their defense is consistently great. And so long as they continue to do that, they're going to keep rolling along. And the one complaint I have, and I wanted to talk to you about this and see what your thoughts are. I feel like the Big 12 officiating in men's basketball specifically has been very, obviously that Kansas game, they just blatantly missed some calls,
right?
But even more in the Texas game, it's just that it's so inconsistent. And I think it's particularly frustrating with Iowa State because we play this really intense defense and they'll call handsy stuff for 5 minutes and then they'll stop and then they'll let stuff go. And then all of a sudden they're back to calling the handsy stuff. I just don't know. It's frustrating to not know what to expect in the course of the same game.
Yeah. And I think that it's interesting because I'm sure like everyone has seen West Virginia spend many years being very handsy and not getting called for all of it. And so now it's kind of like, well, TJ's like, okay, well, if West Virginia can do it, we can for sure do that.
Right.
And now it's like the rest are like, well, wait, like they're
that's not
West
your
Virginia.
Brand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like this isn't your thing. And I also know that we were kind of getting known for like being floppers, which I don't like. So I would like us to clear that up a little bit and do a little less floppity flopping, which we're getting called for flops, which is new this year. But yeah, I think that it's interesting that we're getting to be known for this intense defense. And I don't know if it's going to take a while for these refs to sort out what they're going to call and what they're not going to call, but it would be nice if they figured it out.
You know, because when you go to play down at Kansas and Allen Fieldhouse, you know that Bill Self's been canoodling with the officials. So it's going to be like, you're going to get a call against you that you shouldn't. That's you just expect that there. But when you're in Hilton Coliseum and there's these very strange and inconsistent calls, that's, I wouldn't say new. I mean, that happens to a certain extent every season, but the consistent inconsistency is new. And I hope they get that cleaned up.
Yeah, definitely.
But I wanted to ask you about a tweet you had, because you tweeted something about how this team is unselfish, and the men's team, the women's team were playing at the exact same time. And I saw someone respond to you and say, essentially, you know, it's a good thing when you don't know which team you're referring to.
I feel like we should put up a poll. We should put up a poll. Like, who do you think that Elisa was talking about?
It was the perfect encapsulation of both of these teams. The women's team, like every night, obviously you have Ashley Jones, who's always going to be a consistent scorer, but in terms of the guard play, it's pretty spread out. And one night it could be Emily Ryan, one night it could be Aubrey, one night it could be Morgan Kane. You know, it's always all over
Lexi.
The place. And then Lexi too. And then you have the Gabe Kelscher game on Saturday. And then you have, you know, Isaiah Brockington going for 30 another game. And it's just, it's frustrating sometimes because you want them all to be on at the same time. But the good news is it seems like someone is generally always stepping up.
Yeah. I think with both of these teams, and it's been this way with the women's team, I think for a very long time, is that they make the extra pass. And I think that with the women's game, the extra pass is not as dangerous as it is with the men's game.
Right.
But making that extra pass when the defense has shifted, you know, the defense shifts all the way to the left side, the ball's over on the left side, the person guarding, the person on the other wing is in help defense, basically. So they're like towards the middle of the lane, you know, 1 foot in the lane. So they're help defense. So you swing it, you pass it up to the top of the lane, and then you pass it to the other side, you know, the top of the lane, they might have a decent shot there, but that extra pass is going to be to the other side of the lane. And then the other pass after that is, you know, the person at the top of the key is cutting down. Yeah. That's the extra pass right
and
there.
We saw Tyrese Hunter do that a lot on Saturday, and it was, that was electric.
Yeah. And the thing that I really see with the men's game is that it's a lot of fast breaks where I feel like they're selfless. Like you can go up for a contested layup on a fast break and most likely get a foul. Or what they're doing is passing the ball and
for the wide open
and making sure that they get that shot. Yeah. And I think that that's really smart, especially because I don't feel like we're a great free throw shooting team.
Yeah.
And I don't think that that's what they're thinking about when they're doing it. But just making that extra pass, like seeing that open man, is crazy. It's crazy when the big men see the extra man cutting. Yes, you know what I mean? Like, you know that it's serious when the big men see the extra man cutting. And it's just, it's like them all sitting together at dinner. It's them having a group chat.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's these things that you know that they're like just doing life together. And I know this about the women's team too. Like they know each other and they're celebrating things together and they're doing life together. And you start to like, for lack of better words, your periods start to sync up. You know what I mean?
You sync. Yeah.
But like you're just like, you're in the same place at the same time.
Yeah.
And you know when that person is going somewhere. And so I think that that's kind of one of the cool things. And I think that's really interesting that the men's team so quickly did this with so many transfers coming in.
Especially that. Yes, absolutely that. And especially after what happened last year, we just didn't see a lot of chemistry. And it's been the polar opposite of that this year. You're right.
And I hate to say it, but like Lindell was the exact opposite of this. Like he could have two men on him and he would still drive to the basket and try and shoot it. Like he would never look for the open man. It was the Lindell game. And that was frustrating. And I think that that's just not the type of basketball that we enjoy playing. However, with the type of like selfless basketball that we watch, we probably aren't going to have like the best player ever. You know, like we're not going to have a standout player playing with us right now.
And that, well, right now. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how Coach Otzelberger evolves over the next few years to see, because I've always been told and read that he tends to evolve his coaching with the players he has. So we'll see what happens. And I think that's going to be really exciting to watch.
Yeah, definitely. I know that one of TJ's favorite players is Nader, Abdel Nader. And I think about his Nader style of play being so like quiet and calculated, but like confident. And I see that in some of these other guys. I see that in Hunter and Jackson. Like I see that in them. And I think that that's TJ's style that he's instilling on them, which is crazy. Like we talk about this all the time, but like Prohm wanted so bad to make men out of these guys. But he just didn't know how. And I don't think TJ wants to make men out of these guys, but guess what? He is, you know,
and you can see because he's so intense on the sideline and he, I mean, he's not yelling at them, but you can tell when he's pissed. You can tell when he's pleased just by his demeanor, and they respond to it. And I think there's this huge maturity factor of these guys responding the way they are to him in such a little time. It's amazing. I think no matter what happens from here on out, if we lose every game for the rest of the season, what he did has been amazing.
Don't say that.
It's a point. I don't think that's going to happen. We had a listener reach out and ask, he noticed, it was Frederick, our friend Frederick on Twitter. He noticed that there have been numerous women's basketball games in the Big 12 rescheduled because of COVID, but very few men's Big 12 conference games rescheduled. And he was wondering if there was any reason for that or what the cause was of the discrepancy. So I looked into it a little bit, and the Big 12 policy is that a postponement takes place in the event that a team has less than 6 scholarship players and 1 coach. And that's considered a no contest. That's no longer a forfeit. And that is the same for both men's and women's. So as far as I can tell, I think just more women's programs have been affected by COVID than men's. And I guess all I can say is so far, Iowa State has not been impacted during conference play. And I don't think Iowa State's going to be the problem. I think it's going to be somewhat another team having to postpone. So fingers crossed that we just keep trucking along and we can have as normal of a season as possible. It is interesting though. Our friend Brooke Johnson noticed that the women's basketball officials all wear masks and the men's don't. And I don't know why.
Yeah,
it is interesting. So anyway, there you go. There's my COVID update of the day. Hmm. All right. So we want to get to our goals that we didn't get to last time. And I'm going to turn this over to you because you're the goal Jedi.
Well, we've talked about, I think this is like our third podcast.
This is the third year doing our goals.
Yeah. And so basically like a couple of years ago, I was realizing that I wasn't achieving any of my goals. And I mean, the majority of people don't achieve their goals.
You were a loser.
I mean, like slide into our DMs if you are still working on one of your goals. It's the 17th. We've had a bit of a flurry here. Yeah, let us know if you're still hitting the gym. But seriously, most people give up on their goals no matter what they are. And I think that there's a number of reasons. One of the reasons is that you make too many goals. You know, your chances of achieving a goal declines the more goals you try and achieve at the same time.
Because unlike Holly Rowe, the rest of us only have 24 hours in a day.
Right. And I think that another one of those things is that we're trying to reach these goals that are really out of the realm of what we can achieve. You know, and I think that they are unreasonable. And what we're asking for in our goals on January 1st isn't exactly what we want. So I think that like one of the ones that I always talk about is, okay, you want to lose weight. January 1st, you decide that you want to lose weight. Well, you don't really want to lower the gravitational pull of your body to the earth and have everything else stay the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like you want other things.
You
want to
feel
change.
Better. You want your jeans to fit nicer.
Yeah. You want to be, you know, perceived as a thinner person or, you know, all of these different things. And so more confident. And so I started to switch it around and say, okay, how can I feel those things that I want to feel every day? Thus achieving my goal of what I really want, which is to feel, you know, empowered and to feel confident. Yeah. So why don't I choose things to do every day that's going to allow me to do that? Why don't I, you know, look at myself in the mirror in the morning and pick 5 things that I really like about myself and tell myself that? You know, why don't I have a conversation with a friend and say, you know what I'm really liking is like, the shape of my eyebrows lately is just really great. You know what I mean? Like, why don't I wake up and eat something that is not going to give me heartburn in the morning? Like, we always talk about our heartburn as a joke, but really, like, why don't I
wake up? But seriously, we have terrible heartburn.
Yeah. why don't I eat something as a snack in the afternoon that's going to give me enough energy to get home and do something active after I get home? You know, why don't I choose things that are going to make me feel the way that I want to feel if I were to, the way that I think that I'm going to feel if I were to lose weight? You know, my goal is to, you know, make $100,000 this year. Well, what is it that you want with that $100,000? I want to feel secure. I want to feel comfortable. You know, I want to have something in case something goes wrong. You know, well, then make a choice every morning that's going to make you feel like you have a little more money in your pocket, you know, instead of going to Starbucks or something this morning. Maybe I'm going to keep that money in my pocket, and then I'm going to feel like, oh, I have 11 bucks in my pocket, you know, that I didn't have before. Yep. It's making choices to make yourself feel the way that you think that you're going to feel if you achieve the goal. It's breaking it down, breaking that goal down to really like its most like animalistic desire. So, some of the goals that I had last year were to feel disciplined, feel innovative, feel intentional, and feel healthy. And those were my 2020 goals. And so then at the end of 2020 and 2021, I realized that some of those goals went well, you know, and some of those I really had to kind of pivot. With feeling disciplined, I want to feel disciplined. Well, that made me like look at myself in the mirror and kind of give myself like the mean coach talk, like you're nothing. You need to, you know, it just kind of gave me a bad connotation with it. So during the year, I kind of had to flip that. And so I changed that to feel cared for. So in 2021, I really tried, instead of to feel disciplined, I wanted to feel cared for. And so I softened it a little bit. You know, I gave myself a little more grace, as many of us needed in that year. Many of us did not need to be more disciplined in 2021. Like we just needed a little bit of grace.
Right.
So I changed that. Totally acceptable. And I think that should I have said, you know, well, I want to lose 40 pounds. Well, if you get halfway into the year and say, well, I would like to change that, then you feel like a failure. But if you say like, well, I wanted to feel disciplined, but that isn't working for me, it's making me feel gross, you know, well, then that's fine. Like change it, do something different. I think that creative, made me feel like I didn't really know what I was trying to achieve. Creative was such a broad thing. So I changed that to innovative. So in 2021, I was trying to be innovative with the things that I was doing. And especially with like this podcast and especially with my bakery
business.
And so try and be innovative. And I do think that I achieved that I felt like I was being innovative every day. And so then the goals that I achieved were like, I hit 3,000 followers on Instagram. You know what I mean? And like, I can set these goals of, I would like to set a goal of hitting 5,000 by the end of the year. But that's just an arbitrary
number. But why?
Yeah. Right. I could pay $1,000 for 2,000 more followers.
Right.
And it won't help me any. I have to get to the core of why I want that. And what I have to do to get there. So, I think that the intentional goal that I had in 2020, that was, that had to do with parenting. So I kept that in 2021 to continue to be intentional. It was something that worked for me. So I refocused it and tried to be intentional again this year. And then healthy didn't work for me because it still made me feel kind of shamed that I wasn't. Right. So I got even more specific and went with energized.
I remember this.
Yeah. And I did not feel energized this year at all. So I didn't reach that goal, which is totally fine. And you know what I mean?
That's a very good reminder. That one specifically of sometimes there are just things that are out of your control. And for example, everything around you, you know, the pandemic, politics, work and kids and, but I will say it wasn't for a lack of trying to energize yes, for you. Yes, it wasn't. Yes. I mean that. I watched you do that. So, and so can I give you, well, do you want
the amount of chai I consumed, the amount of caffeine, you would think that I was energized this
can
year.
Can I tell you the one I thought you did the best in 2021? Yes. I thought the Be Innovative one, I thought just watching you be creative with your cakes and what you did in terms of the dessert trays and some of the themes that you tried with your cakes. It was like every week you were doing something that made me just say that I'm blown away. So from an outsider's perspective, I think you absolutely killed that one.
Thank you. And I think that a lot of the goals that we should be trying to do every day, I very much appreciate that you say that you thought that I was innovative, but I want to make sure that I think that I'm innovative.
Oh, yes.
You know what I mean? Right. And I think that in the end, like, we can't do anything about the way that others perceive us. We can't change if somebody thinks that we look overweight or not. Like, even if you lose 200 pounds, you know what I mean? Like, no matter how thin you are, you cannot change the way that somebody else looks at you. So you just have to do the things that are best for yourself.
Right.
Because you can control. I can control what I think when I look in the mirror. I can control what I tell myself. Sometimes I don't feel like I can control what I tell myself. Right. But so those are kind of my goals. And I think that it feels like every year it's like, well, yeah, I have to have a bunch of new goals, but really, like, my goals just kind of change a little bit or continue, or I decide that they're
or
not
focused
serving.
Or you pivot. Right.
Yeah, exactly. And that's some words that I used last year, like pivot, refocus, or drop it if it's not serving you.
Right. So but this year, I was going to ask if you have refocused for this year. Okay.
So this year I really think that those goals were serving me well. And so I'm actually going to keep them, which is it's not all that exciting to talk about. But refocus.
Proof that it works.
Yeah. And then another little thing that I decided to do this year, and this might be more of like an entrepreneur thing, so if this doesn't speak to you, sorry. But I decided to write down 20 people, places, businesses that I would like to
So I like that.
They range anywhere from Iowa Girl Eats. I would love to work with Iowa Girl Eats, local person, Fancy Sprinkles, which is a national brand.
You could apply this to any line of work or profession or even hobbies.
Yeah. And so I made a list, and I've heard before that you should make a list of 100 for your lifetime, but I decided, okay, for this next year, I would just like to make a list of 20 people that I would be interested in. And then I'm going to use that list to just try and like narrow in. I'm going to try and like comment on Iowa Girl Eats' page more often, like create a dialogue with her. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to try and put myself in positions that if they are the right thing, person, business to work with, that I will be there ready for it, as opposed to just like sitting on my thumbs and hoping that something big will come my way.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's great. I really like that. I'm probably going to steal it, actually.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, good. Do you have any specific goals or outlooks for the pod for this next year?
I think that
obviously the innovation one applies.
Yes. And I think that like one of the things that we're really excited about is the name, image, likeness stuff. And we kind of talk about it a little bit with Coach Wares. So I'm excited for you guys to listen to that. But I would like us to get more involved with like women in sports and see if there's a way that we can help them guide them or like be cheerleaders for them or anything like that. And so I think that that's something that I would like to feel helpful, I think.
Yeah.
I think supportive, maybe, is a better word. Like helpful, supportive. I would like to be a resource. So I'm going to wake up every morning and try and be one of those things to somebody.
And maybe we can be kind of a tool for them in terms of spreading the word and things like that as well.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the goals that I have, and this is thanks to people listening, towards the end of the year, we kind of got flooded with people giving us recommendations for guests to have on, and Coach Wares is one, is a great example, but I think we have some that are not necessarily what you'd expect. And some people you've probably, never heard about. And I'm just excited to be able to help people give their, tell their stories and give some perspectives that I think we have a unique platform, that to share them on. So that's one of my goals, is to just keep giving, I don't know, being a platform to share perspectives that way.
I like it.
Yeah. Any more goals?
No, I'm goaled out. I have to keep them, I have to keep them short or they're not going to happen.
I get it. I totally get it. Well, I seriously think this is so great. And I love your little goal refresher every year. It's one of the things I look forward to most. So I hope someone takes something away from it as well.
Well, I'm sorry that I don't have new goals for everybody.
No, but it's good. I mean, like I said, I think it's proof it's working.
Yeah.
Before we get to Coach Wares, I want to give a couple of shout outs to some badass women, which we try to do every episode. I'm sure you saw this, Alisa, but it's Rachel Bach. Balkovec, I think is how you pronounce her name. She is going to be the manager of the Low A Tampa Tarpons? I don't know. I should know how to say that.
Terrapins?
It starts with a T. But anyway, it's a Yankees affiliate. And the important part is she's the first manager in an MLB affiliated team, the first female manager in an MLB affiliated team. So good for her. I saw a lot of support for her from women, obviously, but also a lot of current major leaguers. So that was really cool to see. And her, I read about her. She has a really interesting path. She was a collegiate softball player. Then she started in the, in baseball with the St. Louis Cardinals as a minor league strength and conditioning coach. Then she left and went and got like a master's degree. Then she came back for a while. Then she went and got another master's degree. And then she came back. So she's been all over the place in various roles and has just continually worked her way up, and proud of her. So we continue to see these firsts, and we're going to continue to shout them out. So that's great.
Yeah. Well, I saw that Aisha Bistrom served on the LA Kings bench as an athletic trainer, and she is the first female to work a regular season NHL game behind the bench in any capacity.
Wow.
So that was cool.
And then I saw another one, and now the name is escaping me. We'll have to put this up on Twitter afterwards. There's another woman who's being discussed as a general manager role, like in a front
for
office.
The Vikings.
Yeah. Was it the Vikings?
Yeah. Catherine Raichy.
Okay. Yeah. Yep. And I saw,
a
lot of
the Eagles right now.
And there was tons of people, you know, who are in the know, as Kim Mulkey would say, who are like, she should have been doing this years ago. So I think that's great too.
Yeah. I love it.
And then I mentioned this, when we had a chance to talk to Coach Wares, which you'll hear at the end, but there was a study that was done, and it's, the source is Open Doors, and they did a study of the top name, image, likeness compensation in 2021. 46% of it was football, which to me is no surprise. But then the next highest was women's basketball at 26.2%. So I'm just going to say that again, more than a quarter of all name, image, likeness compensation in 2021 was women's basketball.
Love it.
So don't tell me there's not a market there, people. Don't tell me.
Heck yeah. Well, Genevieve Beckham is a 17-year-old left-hander for the Melbourne Aces, and she made her Australian Baseball League debut, and she was the first woman to ever pitch for a professional team in Australia.
That's awesome.
17
really
years
cool.
old.
I bet she's a badass in Australia,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
I feel like they all are. And then the last one I have is Kira D'Amato. She was she's a distance runner, and she ran in college, then she quit, she had kids, and then she started to run again for fun. Well, it turns out she was having a lot of fun, because over the weekend she set the American record in the marathon in 2 hours and 19 minutes and 11 seconds. She's 37 years old. She did it at the Houston Marathon.
That could and be I you, just, Steph.
Yeah, it won't be me. It could be in theory, but it won't be me. I have a long ways to go.
Oh my gosh, I love
just,
it.
I just can't imagine like walking away, having a couple of kids and be like, I'm going to do this for fun. Yeah. And then setting the American record. Are you joking me?
Oh my gosh. Steph, I really like this little back and forth. Wait, should we do this every time we record?
Yeah, let's do it.
A little like, hey, I heard about this girl. Hey, I heard about this girl.
I like it too. I like it a lot. It. All right. Is there anything else you want to throw out there before we go to the break and then get to Coach Ware's?
I just think we did it well. I just want to circle back to how well we just did that. It's almost like we do this a lot.
It's almost like we know each other. It's almost like our cycles are in sync.
Oh God. If we didn't lose the men before this, we definitely just lost them now.
Come back for Coach Wears, please. Sorry, Coach.
He probably already left. He's like, oh gosh. What did I sign up for?
He's regretting all of his decisions. All right, we're going to go to break. And then when we come back, we'll be joined by Coach George Wears from Central Softball. But first, we are brought to you by Authentic Brand. Authentic Brand is more than just your source for official Cyclone gear. With an amazing team of designers, Authentic Brand can custom manufacture polo shirts, jackets, caps, bags, and beyond for your team or small business. Check them out online at authentic-brand.com. Look authentic, feel authentic, be authentic. Hey, everybody. We are now joined by a man who needs no introduction, but we're going to give him one anyway. We're joined by George Wears, who's the head coach of Central Softball and has been since 1985. He has since become the winningest softball coach in NCAA Division III history. And among those wins include 4 national championships and several top 10 finishes. And in 37 years as head coach, he's taken the Dutch to the NCAA tournament 30 times. So just a, you know, quick little mention of a few of the accolades he's racked up as head coach of Central Softball, but he's more than just a coach. He's an outspoken advocate for women's sports. And that's what we are here to chat about with Coach Wears today. But first, Coach, you're about to start up practice at the end of the month for your upcoming season. The last couple seasons have been strange. Obviously, 2020 season was cut short because of COVID. And then last year was different with masking and other precautions. So are you excited to get this season underway?
Really excited, and we're hopeful that we don't have to do some of the stuff we have, but obviously if we have to, we will. And it's been a challenge. There's not any manual on how to handle pandemic and coach, but you know, we've done what we had to do, just like every other program across the country and whatever sport we're talking about. So hopefully we'll get to a little more normalcy, and we're excited about our season moving forward.
Good. And what's the team look like this year in terms of women coming back, or is it a younger team? Or tell us a little bit about what to expect from you guys this year.
It's going to be younger. If we get healthy, we'll be pretty solid in our pitching. And we probably think maybe a year from now will be our next chance to make a serious run. But we hope to get as far as we can this year to help that and segue into that. But I think we'll win a game or two this year as well.
So. I imagine maybe just one or two. Well, Elisa and I talked a lot in the spring of last year, 2021, that it felt like there was a movement or at least some serious momentum for equity and equality between the treatment of men's and women's sports in the NCAA. And it kind of started, or it felt like it started, with the disparity in the facilities and amenities in March Madness. And then it continued on with what ended up being a very popular and highly viewed D1 softball tournament. And again, there was some more disparities in facilities and some crazy, ridiculous scheduling. So as someone who has, you know, whose livelihood is in women's college athletics, you're in it, you're living it. Did you feel this movement and momentum the same way that we did as fans?
Yeah, without question. I think it was good that it was brought to the front. We have Title IX for a reason, and it's unfortunate that we have Title IX, but we need it, you know, and we need it because people can't seem to understand the inequalities that we have. It's interesting we're doing this on Martin Luther King Day, because you could say the same thing about, you know, race or gender. But, you know, going way back to when I first started coaching and decided to, I was also coaching men's basketball. When I coached female athletes initially, I was just the coach, and, you know, I did what I could to help us be successful. And then I started realizing, especially when I have 2 daughters and 3 granddaughters, and there's a bigger stage here. And I saw even with the teams that we had, and I'm at a school that is very pro female sport. you know, clear back in 1988, when we won our first national championship, John Walters, who we all know from Iowa State, was working for Channel 5 TV. And we came back from a national championship game back to Pella, and he was there to do an interview. And one of our vans was late, happened to be the one I was in. So I wasn't there for the interview. And our president, who was huge in advancing female sports in the NCAA, President Ken Weller, and he took the mic. And John, you know, meaning well, made a comment, well, how does it feel, President Weller, to have a women's sport win a national championship at a football school? And President Weller just gave him the look you cannot believe. You know, asked John, he probably remembers. He said, we're not a football school. We are a school of all sports. You, the media, make us a football school. And we're very, very happy that our women have won a national championship. And for the record, we've won 11 national championships at Central, and 10 have been won by female sports. So we kind of got to go on the right way here. But, but to your point, I think it's never been fair. You know, what I've tried to do as a coach is, yes, we coach to win, and that's significant. We want to do that. But we feel like the more we challenge our women in the sport, the more we prepare them for what's out there. And we're very direct. We it's not fair. You know, we tell them the wage difference that they're going to have to go through. We tell them that when they interview for their first job and there's a male that is going to be the competition, you know, you're going to have to blow them out of the water in that to maybe get the job. And we try to prepare them for that. And so that's kind of been a goal of mine, you know, to do more than just coach. And then moving fast forward to what you just talked about, we have seen improvements. But when you think about the weight room disparity that we saw in Division One, how can anybody not think that's wrong? When we saw the Division One, and Division One softball has become so popular, you know, and when you look at the number of people that are tuning in to watch it, and then you've got women that are trying to win a national championship, and you put them at a disadvantage because of how quickly they have to come back, how could anybody not see the fairness in that, the unfairness in that? And yet some people still do not see the unfairness in that, you know, and some, I think some males are threatened, you know, quite frankly, when you look at, I'm a huge fan of Iowa State. You guys know that. And I love the women's team. I love the men's team this year. They're both phenomenal to watch and they're very exciting. And, you know, and bear with me on this comment, if the men played the women, you know, heads up, the men are going to win. You know, I think we would all agree with that. But that's simply because of what God gave each gender in terms of what they can and can't do physically. But I would argue the women are better maybe because their ceiling might be greater and they have maybe a better chance of being Final Four. You know, whether that's true or not doesn't matter. But what really irritates me is when you hear some people knock the women's game, it's usually the armchair quarterback, you know, who's sitting there and probably never made a JV high school team. Now he's saying that the women can't play and he could probably compete against the women. And so we've got a long ways to go, but we've made great progress. And I'm just I love sports. And I think the fact that the women's game has taken off, whether it's softball, whether it's volleyball, whether it's basketball, and has become significant is better for all of us. And, you know, you don't have to watch it, but I do think it's up to the networks to give it a venue that will more likely have a greater audience, because if it's watched, it's going to go, because the women's basketball game is truly special right now. I'm obviously biased towards softball, but can you give me a better national championship than the bottom of the seventh, you know, game on the line and somebody up has to make a great pitch. Somebody else has to have a key hit. It's phenomenal and people want to watch it. So let's keep pushing it forward.
When you talk about the armchair quarterbacks, it makes me think about, I watched this YouTube video where Jenny Finch was throwing pitches at like football players and barely any of them could hit off of her. And it's like, okay, unless you're a baseball player, I don't think you can hit off Jenny Finch. Like, I don't think you could do, I think you might have to take some of your pitchers out there and throw at some of those football players and see what they can do.
We'll sponsor that.
We have had Chris and Ross, you know, the Fanatics, I've been on their show a few times and we've had this challenge going that I think they're going to do it, but we haven't found the time where where I'm going to have them come down and try to hit off a couple of and we'll video that because
please do.
You know,
you
NCAA would not allow us to put a line on it, but the over under about how many they're going to make contact is going to be zero. I think, so
you got to bring us out there too, though. Yeah,
we'll heckle.
There you go. Yeah, we'll make sure everybody knows when it's going to happen.
Because we played fast pitch, so I feel like we could be better than Chris and Ross.
Oh yeah, just generally too.
Well, there's a difference too. You know, I mean, baseball fast pitch, you know, especially with Jenny, sure. It's got the upward spin and the
sure.
A lot different hitting a baseball as a softball.
Yeah.
Coach, you, I don't know how much you listen to our podcast, but something I've said a lot to Elisa is that if you're going to be a coach or a leader in women's sports, you don't necessarily have to carry the banner of equity and equality. But in my opinion, you sure as heck can't be a barrier toward progress. And you are very much a banner carrier. And you mentioned it before with, you know, with having daughters and granddaughters of your own, that you make it a point to be that banner carrier, but I'm wondering, was it a conscious point decision? Was there something that you witnessed or a moment where it just clicked and you said, I'm going to be that and I'm going to be a voice, or did it just feel natural to you?
Well, a little of both. I think the more you hear other people's stories where they weren't given a fair chance. And, you know, you come from your own background too. And, you know, I came here, you know, as a 7-year-old, 6 or 7-year-old that couldn't speak English, and, you know, walking around speaking German and, you know, having people address that in certain ways and using certain terms to address you. So you start understanding that we're all created equal, but we're not all treated fairly. And I came to the point where, you know, and I'm a big believer in white privilege, and I believe I am one of the privileged. And I think a lot of times when people say that, they think, well, I haven't worked to get to where I am. I haven't had to go through my own struggles. And that's not what it means at all. But I feel the white man has a better opportunity to move forward than a Black or a person of color and a woman. And I think as much, and I know a lot of women coaches across the country, and we've talked and talked and talked. And I think that has helped me become more of an advocate and speak to it, because Carol Hutchinson from Michigan, we're dear friends, and we talk a lot about things like this. And she finally said to me, said, for this to get better, we need people like you to speak out, you know. Mm-hmm. Because it's one thing for two women like yourselves to speak out for women's rights and moving of a sport, and that's important. But I think the people that have the privilege need to speak out and let people understand that we have to do something to make sure everybody gets the same opportunities as many of us have had. And again, I think it's, when you look at it, it's a why not to me. You know, what's so hard to, I think some people feel like, well, if we give this, we're going to lose this. And that's not true. We can all have the fair share of the pie and make sure that we're allowed to do what we're, you know, we've been given a chance to do and do it fairly. And that's where I just hope that we keep moving forward with an agenda like that.
How do you balance, you mentioned the people with the privilege speaking for those without it. So the criticism of that is being the quote unquote male savior. So how do you balance that and deal with those critics?
Well, first of all, I'm not a savior. I wouldn't know how to.
Well, you know what I mean. Though,
yeah, I do. And I get it. And I'm sensitive to that, but I think when you hear your own players come up and talk to you, past and present, and you know, just a thank for being an advocate. And I think it's difficult, but I think you still have to do it. And there are going to be some that put it down for the reason that you said, but I don't know what it's like to be you. I don't know what it's like to be either one of you to go into an interview or to, you know, fill in the blank. And I don't know what it's like to be a person of color. So I think we have to try to, educate ourselves the best we can, and then listen to, you know, one thing I'm fortunate with, you know, being married, having two daughters and having granddaughters and coaching females, I get a lot of insight, you know, to
what they're doing. I'm sure you do.
And I think listening to them, and I've had some of them tell me, you know, they don't need a savior, you know, you know, and, but I think it's just listen and try to do what you can. And sometimes it's not so much pushing one individual, helping them. It's pushing the sport in general, you know, and there've been examples when I first coached, early, I'm a very violent, I wear my emotions on my sleeve. You know, that's how I coach with my players and with umpires. I've gotten a little better, but that's what I have. And I found out that if I got upset with an umpire, this is early in my career, and I pushed the envelope, and we were facing a team that had a woman head coach, and she pushed the same envelope, I was given a longer leash. And some people in the stands would argue, well, he's just fighting for his team. And some people in the same stands would argue that that female coach was being, excuse my language, being bitchy. You know, mm-hmm. She was being overly assertive. And I says, well, that doesn't make sense, you know, and I saw that. And to me, it's like there has to be an ability for a female coach to be able to do what she needs to do. And it may be like the male counterpart and not get crucified for yelling at her players, for yelling at an umpire or an official. And we've still got a ways to go on that. You know, I've got to the point where I would like every coaching staff in all sports to have one person of the opposite gender. So Coach Campbell, maybe already does, he needs to have a female on his staff. TJ needs to have a female on his staff. And because I think when you have both genders represented, it's a little easier to speak to some of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah, I think that like that's the importance of like representation. That's the importance of having somebody else in there. Like we even talk about commercials sometimes. We're like, how did that get passed? Are there no women on staff? Are there no people of color on staff there that you would say like, no, maybe Kendall Jenner should not be like handing a Coca-Cola to ease racism? Yeah, like maybe not. And I think that you're exactly speaking to that. Like, there has to be somebody out there who's like, hey, my life experience has told me, let's go in a different direction with that.
Well, and to your point, I think a lot of the policies that are being made, unfortunately, in many things, we'll talk specifically to the NCAA. I mean, it's getting better, but there have been a lot of white males that are on a lot of those decision-making moments that affect female sports. And I do think the NCAA is trying to improve. I mean, they've got things out there now where we're trying to get more women in different sports. You know, we have an opportunity for a triathlon. Women's wrestling is becoming really good. And, you know, I'll give a shout out to our state. Our state really, in terms of women having a fair opportunity to compete was ahead of its time. You know, we're the only state, I believe, in the country that has two separate sports unions, where we have a girls' union, a boys' state union. I think everybody else puts it together, and I think the women then sometimes get a little bit of the bad end of it, not getting some of the equality that we're talking about. But you look at clear back when they play 6-on-6 basketball, you know, argue it as you want, but the number of people that watch that, the television attention for that. So we have had a lot of really good things in Iowa in terms of the girls' sports, the women's sports, but not quite as much nationally.
Speaking of some of the changes that have been made, what do you think of like the name, image, likeness, and how it's affecting women in sports? Do you have any thoughts on that kind of change?
It's going to be less obviously at the Division III level, but I'm in favor of it. I always have been, and I hope there are some women that are able to utilize it, and you know, for their own benefit financially. You know, like every other coach, particularly those at the Division I level, I have a little bit of a red flag concern if it becomes a recruiting piece, because I think that's scary, you know, because I think I hate to say this, but the haves and the have-nots are going to get more separated, and we're going to see a bigger division in terms of some of the Division I powers and those that maybe are trying to become that. But in general, how can you argue against it? You know, we've been using athletes forever. You know, it's kind of ironic that, you know, you go to a game, Alabama, Georgia, and you've got whatever, 80,000 people, and, you know, they're cheering them on. And then 5 minutes later, they're crucifying them. And then 5 minutes later, they're at a bar constantly calling them names, and yet their livelihood for that 2 hours depends on, you know, or their happiness depends on how well they perform, and they're giving up a lot. And so for them to be able to get something back, I think is really, really good. And I hope the women, you know, I'm not, you probably know as more than I do, but are the Iowa State women utilizing it some? Are the Iowa women utilizing it some? Because obviously you've got two very successful seasons and some very known players. So hopefully they're getting some benefit from it.
And I actually just saw a statistic that for 2021, women's basketball made up a quarter of all NIL compensation. And that wasn't state by state, but it was still really neat to see that they are taking advantage of it.
And I know Caitlin Clark has a big deal with, she's at Iowa. She has a big deal with Hy-Vee. And then I mean, I know we have the Ashley Jones merchandise and some stuff for the women as well. We have some ideas too. So yeah. Hopefully we can work in some of those ideas pretty soon.
And to bounce off of that, Elisa, I guess, coach, before we wrap up with you, what do you think is the most important thing that we can do as fans or as, you know, as people, as outsiders looking in? What's from your perspective as a coach, what can we do to continue to grow the women's game in all sports and advocate for equity and equality for women's athletics?
Well, continuing of what you're doing, you know, like your podcast and just speaking to issues. And then as fans, I think the biggest thing for me is don't try to make the sports the same. You know, it's okay that the women's game is different than the men's game. And I appreciate both. You know, there's something about the men's game that drives me to that, okay, I'm not going to see that as much as women's game. Then I go to a women's game and I'm watching it. And all of a sudden I get a jaw-dropping moment. Wow. See that in the men's game. And they're the same sport, but they're different. Just appreciate for what they are. And I think, you know, if you can't, to your point earlier, Steph, if you can't be an advocate for it, then certainly don't get on social media and criticize it, you know,
because get out of the way.
completely get out of the way, because there are a lot of people that love what the women athletes can do. There are a lot of people that love what the coaches that coach those women athletes have done to promote the game. And they're trying really, really hard. I go back to the pioneers of the Hutches and the, you know, the Pat Summits, and they have done a lot to make a lot of good things happen. And instead of being critical of it, because if inferiority complex, I would say, just be happy about it, you know, because it's something very, very special. And I think we have an opportunity to, as fans, to go to games. I like what you said about ESPN Plus. It was kind of the same thing with me. It's bad enough that they're on ESPN Plus, but then to have both at the same time, and I'm not smart enough to know how to go back and forth. If it's ESPNU and ESPN, I can flip back and forth. So I was trying to figure it out, I guess, watch one on my phone. But, you know, there are things like that, we can be good at both. And I think my final comment again, as a male, just because women's sports grow or a female athlete becomes really, really good, it doesn't take away from what the males are going to do. That's always going to be something that people want to watch, but we can enjoy the women's game just as much. And I'm rambling now because I'm very passionate about it. So
no, I mean, that takes it back to what you guys said, is that you guys winning a national championship doesn't take anything away from your football team. Like, you guys can both exist in the same space.
Correct. And I would think that the football program at Iowa State, Coach Campbell would love it if the women won a national championship. Anytime a sport does well in a certain institution, it's going to be good PR.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Coach. Would you be willing to come on with us again sometime? I'm putting you on the spot, so you have to say yes.
Oh, without question. I want to hear some of your ideas. And if I can help with some of your ideas off the air,
awesome. Well, thank you. We appreciate your time so much, and good luck starting practice here in a couple of weeks.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Coach.